Father, we do hope that that is truly our prayer. Not our will, Lord, but your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your power, your majesty, how good you are. Father, we pray for our time together. Lord, selfishly, we ask that you would do a great work among this congregation for your name and for your glory. You would strengthen and mature your children, Father. You would draw the lost to yourself. Father, we pray for our nation, for President Biden and Vice President Harris, Lord. We pray for their salvation. Lord, that they would not do what is right in their own eyes, Lord, but they would do what is right according to your holy and perfect will. Father, for our country, we would not abandon the gospel. It would be faithful to your name. It would be individuals who are brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord, who abide in your holy word, who know your word, who share your word, because your word is good to us and it's good for others to hear the good news. For our missionaries that are serving in our lands overseas, Father, for Rusty and Jennifer Ford, Lord, who are in Spain right now, Lord, bless their ministry. Bless what they're doing. Father, grow your church in Spain and in Asia, in Europe, Lord, in China, and across this land. Father, bless this time right now as your holy word is read. And as me, a foolish man, strives to divide it rightly. Lord, we need you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. If you would, remain standing for the reading of God's word. Turn with me to Acts chapter 22. Acts chapter 22. If you're using a Pew Bible, you can find that on page 931. Now I'll begin reading with verse 1. I know this is a long text, so if you need to sit down at some point, feel free. Acts 22, beginning in verse 1. Brothers and fathers, hear the defense that I now make before you. When they heard that he was addressing them in the Hebrew language, they became even more quiet. And he said, I am a Jew, born in Tarsus in Cilicia, but brought up in this city, educated at the feet of Gamaliel, according to the strict manner of the law of our fathers, being zealous for God, as all of you are this day. I persecuted this way to the death, binding and delivering to prison both men and women. As a high priest and the whole council of elders can bear me witness, from them I received letters to the brothers, and I journeyed toward Damascus to take those also who were there and bring them in bonds to Jerusalem to be punished. I was on my way and drew near to Damascus. About noon, a great light from heaven suddenly shone around me. And I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And I answered, Who are you, Lord? He said to me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. Now those who were with me saw the light, but did not understand the voice of the one who was speaking to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, Rise and go into Damascus, and there you will be told all that is appointed for you to do. And since I could not see because of the brightness of that light, I was led by the hand by those who were with me and came into Damascus. And one, Ananias, a devout man according to the law, well spoken of by all the Jews who lived there, came to me and standing by me said to me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. At that very hour, I received my sight and saw him. He said, God of our fathers appointed you to know his will, to see the righteous one and to hear a voice from his mouth. For you will be a witness for him to everyone of what you have seen and heard. And now, why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. When I returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple, I fell into a trance and saw him saying to me, Make haste and get out of Jerusalem quickly because they will not accept your testimony about me. And I said, Lord, they themselves know that in one synagogue after another, I imprisoned and beat those who believed in you. And when the blood of Stephen, your witness, was being shed, I myself was standing by and approving and watching over the garments of those who killed him. And he said to me, go, for I will send you far away to the Gentiles. Up to this word, they listened to him. And they raised their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for he should not be allowed to live. As they were shouting and throwing off their cloaks and flinging dust into the air, the tribune ordered him to be brought to the barracks, saying that he should be examined by flogging to find out why they were shouting against him like this. When they had stretched him out for the whips, Paul said to the centurion who was standing by, is it lawful for you to flog a man who is a Roman citizen and uncondemned? The centurion heard this. He went to the tribune and said to him, what are you about to do? For this man is a Roman citizen. So the tribune came and said to him, tell me, are you a Roman citizen? And he said, yes. The tribune answered, I bought this citizenship for a large sum. Paul said, but I am a citizen by birth. So those who were about to examine him withdrew from him immediately. And the tribune also was afraid, for he realized that Paul was a Roman citizen, that he had bound him. On the next day, desiring to know the real reason why he was being accused by the Jews, he unbound him and commanded the chief priests and all the council to meet. And he brought Paul down and set him before him. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Please be seated. So the book of Acts is best described as the Acts of the Holy Spirit. It is the building of the early church. And the cause of this church growth was none other than our providential Lord. The church was not growing because of the work of men. The church was growing because it was the Lord's will. That the one who has always existed, the one who spoke all things into creation, the one who is and will remain supremely ruling over all things, the one who made you, the one who made me. The one we have gathered here this morning to learn about and to praise and to give thanks for. The one who breathed out the scriptures. The one who is growing his church here in Acts, as well as the one who is growing his church today. It is his church. It is his kingdom. And it is growing because he wills it to grow. He has promised that it will continue to grow. We have studied Stephen, Peter, Philip, Paul, Barnabas, Silas, but they were men whom the Lord chose and worked through to accomplish his divine purposes. That without God gracing them, without God awakening them to their sin and gifting them with faith, all these men would have remained spiritually dead in their sin, and the same is true for all of us. You know, today's text is a great reminder of our salvation and that our salvation is a gift from God. Today's verses are also a great reminder that our triune God is a God who does not change, a God who keeps his promises. The Lord promised to grow his church, and the book of Acts is the early and partial fulfilling of that promise. The Lord told Abraham in Genesis chapter 22, beginning in verse 17, he said, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven, as the sand that is on the seashore, and your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. If you turn back a few pages in Acts chapter 3, Peter, when he preached, he pointed to this truth in his sermon. Acts chapter 3, beginning in verse 23. And it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people. And all the prophets who have spoken, from Samuel to those who came after him, also proclaim these days, you are the sons of the prophets and the covenant that God made with your fathers, saying, Abraham, and in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness. Paul later on discussed this truth of the church in Galatia in Galatians chapter 3. He says, know then that in those of faith who are the sons of Abraham and the scriptures, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. So the book of Acts is the acts of God, the Holy Spirit, his work in keeping of his promise to grow his church to all the nations, Jew and Gentile. So as Paul gives his defense, as he tells them of his undeserved salvation, think of your own salvation and give praise to God. As you hear Paul's radical conversion, think about what God has done in your life. And if you're here this morning and you have not been born again, if you do not have salvation, I pray that you are burdened over your sin and God's righteousness this morning. I'm praying that you will call on Christ for salvation today. As you see God at work in every verse, praise him, knowing that God does not change and that he is still powerfully at work today. Beginning in verse 1, we find Paul's testimony of grace, verses 1 and 2. He addresses the hostile crowd. He says, brothers and fathers, hear the defense that I now make before you. When they heard that he was addressing them in the Hebrew language, they became even more quiet. So if you remember, these Jews from a distance, they saw Paul in the temple. And when they did, they became furious and mad. They caused an uproar. They went and they got Paul in a huge commotion. The tribune was notified. They came up and they were beating Paul. They saw the tribune. They stopped. They came to him. They chained him up and they brought him before them. They find out who Paul is. Paul is, by God's grace, allowed to address the crowd. He is addressing them. This is a rich defense, a testimony of grace that deserves to be faithfully unpacked. He's just been beat by this Jewish crowd, primarily Jews from Ephesus, saved by lawless men, thought to be an assassin, and now he is given the okay to address the large, violent crowd that sought his life. When the crowd is hushed, Paul begins speaking in the Hebrew language, Aramaic, which caused them to become even more quiet because this was the most common language spoken by Jews in Jerusalem. He also addressed them with great respect. How did he begin? Brothers and fathers. Look at verse 3. He said, I am a Jew, born in Tarsus in Cilicia, but brought up in this city, educated at the feet of Gamaliel according to the strict manner of the law of our fathers, being zealous for God as you are this day. So Paul's opening his ethnicity, a Jew born in Tarsus in Cilicia, raised in the very city in which he was being persecuted. He was a Jew born in the city of Tarsus, an intellectual sinner, but he was raised in Jerusalem, the very town that was holding him in chains. He was one of them. His education, he studied under Gamaliel, the well-known scholar. He was the leader of the school of Hillel. This man was the most celebrated rabbi at this time. So Paul received the best training that he could have. Intense training in the Old Testament law and rabbinic traditions. He studied according to the strict manner of the law. He took the Jewish law very seriously. He was zealous for God. Just as the crowd was, he says that. And as Paul shared who he was, he revealed to the hostile crowd that he was not the Egyptian assassin, nor would he be found guilty of opposing the law. He was zealous for the law. Paul's life. Look what he says. He says, I persecuted this way to the death, binding and delivering to prison both men and women, as a high priest and the whole council of the elders can bear me witness. So Paul's life, he persecuted Christians, those belonging to the way. This name was most likely given based on the Old Testament verse of Isaiah 40, verse 3, where a voice cries, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And when Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to this earth, He said this in John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So Paul, he persecuted Christians, followers of Christ, those belonging to the way. He bound men and women in chains, belonging to the way, delivered them over to prison for death. As Paul was describing his life, he informed them that if they desire more proof, they could speak with the high priest and the whole council of elders, for they knew who Paul was. They knew that Paul was sent to Damascus to bind Christians, to bring them back for the purpose of being punished. The irony of this is that now Paul is himself bound in Jerusalem. This is Paul's opening defense to the hostile crowd. And by God's divine power over them, the crowd listened. The crowd heard Paul's background, his ethnicity, his birthplace, his hometown, his education, his life lived to destroy those belonging to the way. And now they are about to hear a little more about Paul's travel to Damascus. They're going to hear his testimony of grace. Look at verse 8 for our main text. Verse 6, excuse me. He says, I was on my way and drew near to Damascus about noon. A great light from heaven suddenly shone around me. I fell to the ground, heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? I answered, Who are you, Lord? He said to me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. As Paul was on his way to Damascus, traveling on the road to Damascus, close to noon, the brightest time of the day, the beautiful details, a very bright light other than the sun and brighter than the sun flashed from heaven all around him. Paul was declaring with these words that this light was the brightness of God's glory, the presence of God. When this happened, Paul said, I fell to the ground and heard a voice that said to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Paul responded with the words, Who are you, Lord? Or, Who are you, Master? Paul responded with a reverent and respectful title, words of fear. Then Paul heard these words, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. In other words, on the road to Damascus, around noon, the bright light, the voice, it was the risen Lord. It was Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It was Jesus, the one who came from heaven to earth, claimed to be God, proved to be God, laid his life down in obedience to God the Father, nailed to the cross, was dead, buried, and 3 days later, he was risen. The glory of Christ surrounded Paul that day on that Damascus road. As Yahweh spoke to Moses, Jesus spoke to Paul. That Jesus Christ, the Son of God, informed Paul that he was persecuting him. Did you see that? It's like, you're not persecuting Christians, you're persecuting me. Paul was persecuting the Lord's children, therefore he was persecuting Christ. Verse 9 helps us to understand the context a little bit better. Now those who were with me saw the light, but did not understand the voice of the one who was speaking to me. So those who were with Paul, they saw the light as Paul did that day. I'm sure, the text doesn't say, I'm sure they were on the ground as well on that road to Damascus, but they did not understand the voice. Turn with me back in your pages to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, beginning in verse 1. Let's remind ourselves of this encounter. Obviously, this encounter is in here more than once for a specific reason. It is very important. Acts 9, beginning in verse 1. But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, he went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus. So if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now, as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly the light from heaven flashed around him. Falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He said, Who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise, enter the city, and you'll be told what you are to do. the men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. These men with Paul, they saw the light. They did not understand what the voice was saying, and they didn't see anyone. They just saw the light. They stood speechless, waiting for direction from Paul. How the light could be surrounded by them all, but yet at the same time, only Paul was the one that was blind. Only Paul was the one who heard the voice of the Lord. Verse 10 of our main text, he continues his conversion story. You got to love this. After he is told who is speaking to him, what he has been doing, persecuting Jesus Christ, what does Paul say? What shall I do, Lord? Rise and go into Damascus, and there you will be told all that is appointed for you to do. These words are very precious. What shall I do, Lord? There was no hesitation from Paul. He was on this road for one purpose and one purpose alone, to go to Damascus to find brothers and sisters who were belonging to the way, to chain them, to bring them back to Jerusalem for the purpose of them being executed. There was no hesitation. He just encountered Christ on that road. And what does he say? What shall I do, Lord? There was no doubt in his mind. The light shone around him was the glory of God, and the voice, it was the voice of Jesus Christ. In other words, Paul's life, all that Paul had known, all that he had done was sin against the Lord. What was he to do now? What was he to do? I mean, the reason for his travels was to persecute Christ. This story is beautiful. It's Paul's gracious story of redemption, a story of grace. Once an enemy, a hater of God, now born again, called by God to be a child of God. Once a hater of Christians, now a Christian himself. Paul is now asking Jesus, what shall I do? Jesus says, rise, get up off the ground, go into Damascus, and there you will be told all that is appointed for you to do. All that just happened on that road was not a choice of an evil man. It was an appointment from God. Paul asked Jesus what to do. Jesus told him to rise from the ground, continue on the road to Damascus, and when you arrive there, you will be told all that is appointed for you to do. In other words, you will be told exactly what you are to do, Paul. I will show you how to worship me. It is all appointed or ordained by me. Acts 9, 15 and 16. The words of God. He, Paul, is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. So Paul's conversion, his salvation, it was appointed, it was ordained by God. Paul was chosen by God. Paul was chosen to carry the Lord's name. And Paul was chosen to suffer for the Lord's name. You see, every salvation of man, woman, and child is appointed by God. There is nothing that is outside of the sovereign hand of God. He is sovereignly ruling over all things. Salvation in and of itself is an undeserved gift from God. If you think that you deserve to be saved, let me assure you, you do not. I do not. It's what we call the great exchange. He takes away one's sin, their condemnation. He grants justification in Christ and brings one into his family and calls them his own. The salvation is a special grace quickened by God the Holy Spirit through the work of God the Son on the cross and the calling of God the Father. The salvation is whereby the spiritually dead man, woman, or child is made spiritually alive. Salvation, grace, this is what God does. This is only what God can do. Paul continues, look at verse 11. He says, and since I could not see because of the brightness of that light, I was led by the hand. by those who were with me. I came into Damascus, and one Ananias, a devout man, according to the law, well spoken of by all the Jews who lived there, came to me, and standing by me, said to me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And that very hour I received my sight and saw him, and he said, The God of our fathers appointed you to know his will, to see the righteous one, and to hear a voice from his mouth. For you will be a witness for him to everyone of what you have seen and heard. And now why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. You imagine a man that is staggering. He has just come in and not unable to see. His eyelids are open, but yet he cannot see, being led by man. A man who once was dragging men and women off to prison is now unable to move himself, unable to see, needs help, and he arrives there to the city broken. He arrives broken, receives his sight, and is told exactly what has happened to you, that the risen Lord is the one who appeared to you on that road. The risen Lord is the one who has appointed you for this mission, to proclaim the gospel specifically to the Gentiles. Salvation is a special grace quickened by God the Holy Spirit through the work of God the Son and the calling of God the Father. So Paul saw at the time. He entered Damascus, received his sight, was told by Ananias, a servant of God, all that had happened to him. Paul, you've been appointed to know his will. Paul, you were appointed to see the righteous one, the suffering servant, Jesus Christ. Paul, you were appointed to be a witness to him, to everyone. And now, look at what we see. Paul's earthly journey now, in Acts 22, is coming to a close, and he is still being a witness for Christ. It's what he has been appointed to do. He is no longer binding men and women of the way. He is of the way himself, and he has bound himself, remaining a faithful witness of Christ. This is the power of the gospel. This is the work of salvation. This is Paul's testimony of grace. And praise be to God that this testimony does not stand alone. Amen. You think, well, I wasn't as bad as Paul. Yes, you were. Yes, I was. We were doing our own thing, unconcerned about the things of God. And by God's grace, he rescued us and called us his own. He showed us our sin. We repented of our sin and trusted in Christ alone for our salvation because he was gracious to us. This is the power of the gospel. This is the work of salvation. It's Paul's testimony of grace. I'm not sure how long it's been for you, but I encourage you to review your own gracious story of redemption today. Think about the things that you once did that you no longer do because you love the Lord and been saved. Think about where you were and where you are now because of God's grace. How he has had pity on us. How he has saved us. The Lord saved Paul. The Lord instructed Paul. And now he was commanding Paul through Ananias to follow him in obedience and be baptized. It would be a mistake to hear Paul's commission and not think of our own. As Paul was saved and commissioned himself, so have we been. Look at verse 17 of our main text. When I returned to Jerusalem, I was praying to the temple. So he's still speaking to this Jewish crowd that is angry, but they have been hushed by the power of God, and they're listening to his testimony. He said, when I returned to Jerusalem, was praying in the temple, I fell into a trance and saw him saying to me, make haste get out of Jerusalem quickly because they will not accept your testimony about me. And I said, Lord, they themselves know that in one synagogue after another, I imprisoned and beat those who believed in you. And when the blood of Stephen, your witness, was being shed, I myself was standing by and approving and watching over the garments of those who killed him. And he said to me, go, for I will send you far away to the Gentiles. So when Paul returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple, he fell into a trance. He had a vision. In the words of John MacArthur, Paul was carried beyond his senses into the supernatural realm to receive revelation from Jesus Christ. This experience was unique to the apostles. So let me clarify what MacArthur just said. Paul was an apostle. The canon was not yet closed. Today, the canon is closed. And according to his holy word, Hebrews 1, he is done speaking, meaning special revelation is no more. An individual can be led by the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit will lead according to God's holy word. This experience was descriptive. It is not prescriptive for us. Paul declared who he was, what he was doing, his encounter, his mission, and his vision. Paul was called by God to minister to the Gentiles. The gospel is for every nation. The gospel is for every tribe, every people, every language. Let's look at that together. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7. Let's take a brief glance at God's bride that is described here. Revelation chapter 7, beginning in verse 9. It said, after this, I looked. Behold, a great multitude that no one could number. Does that not comfort your soul? From every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels, they were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. As Paul was standing before this crowd of Jews like himself, these zealous Jews for the law, he informed them that while he was in the temple, while he was on holy ground himself, the Lord informed him that the great eternal temple would include Jews and Gentiles. That the salvation of God was for every nation, tribe, people, and language. That Jews and Gentiles would be clothed in white robes together as they stood before the throne of God, worshiping him forever. And verses 22 through 30, it explains their response to what they just heard from the apostle, the one sent by God. Verse 22, up to this word they listened to him. Then they raised their voice and said, away with such a fellow from the earth. He should not be allowed to live. They were shouting and throwing off their cloaks, flinging dust into the air. Tribune ordered him to be brought back into the barracks, saying that he should be examined by flogging to find out why they were shouting against him like this. I mean, they didn't even know what was going on. Why were they so angry? When they had stretched him out for the whips, Paul said to the centurion who was standing by, is it lawful for you to flog a man who is a Roman citizen and for a Roman man who is a citizen? Who was uncondemned? The centurion heard this. He went to the tribune and said to him, what are you about to do? This man's a Roman citizen. The tribune came to him and said, tell me, are you a Roman citizen? He said, yes. And the tribune answered, look at him. He says, I bought with citizenship for a large sum. He's saying, so did you buy your citizenship? Paul says, absolutely not. I'm a Roman citizen by birth. So those who were about to examine him withdrew from him immediately. They backed away. They were fearful of what they had already done and allowed being done to Paul. We realized that Paul was a Roman citizen and they had bound him and he had had no court that had found him guilty. On the next day, desiring to know the real reason why I was being accused by the Jews, he unbound him, commanded the chief priests and all the council to meet, and they brought Paul down and set him before them. So the crowd listened to what Paul said until they heard something that they hated. It sounds like when a Christian is proclaiming the gospel and the lost will listen until they hear something that they hate. They cried out again for Paul's death. They said, "Away with such a fellow from the earth, for he should not be allowed to live." Oh, when we understand grace, we realize that none of us should be allowed to live. They shouted all the more. They threw out their cloaks. They flew dust into the air. It was an intense emotional time for these Jews. For one of them just said that salvation was also for the Gentiles. How dare he? Away with him. Let's kill him. The Jewish crowd that day, they were not in good standing with God themselves, as they thought. They were the ones with the hearts of stone in need of salvation. They were in need of what Paul had. They were unable to accept the truth that salvation was for the Jew as well as the Gentile. Church family, the gospel does not change. It never does. It never will. The foundation has been laid, and we are to proclaim the good news that saves, even if people hate us for it. The gospel has always been offensive, and it always will be. The gospel will divide, but it will also save, and nothing else will. If we change the gospel to fit the needs of the people, let me assure you, you don't understand the needs of the people. What they need is the gospel. People will deny the way of God and embrace the dying and foolish ways of men that shift with time. The tribune takes Paul away for examination, and they discover he's a Roman citizen by birth. That's an elite status. They unbind him for the purpose of further discussion, and so they themselves aren't liable for death if they continue. Roman citizenship was highly prized. And as a Roman citizen, Paul is exempt from these types of painful examinations without a hearing. And if they were to continue and stretch him for the purpose of flogging those responsible, they would lose their life, including the tribune. Paul was the Lord's chosen instrument to carry the gospel to the Gentiles. And in so doing, many Jews also heard the gospel because of who he was. Now go back to that Damascus Road and think for a little bit. Think about who Paul was, who he was. Think about how the Lord has used him in great and mighty ways throughout the last, for all his journeys that he's been on. And think about now, what is happening now in Paul's life. Isn't that amazing? Paul, the Lord knew what he was doing. Only Paul could be the one standing before that crowd saying that. The mighty hand of God at work. Paul was the Lord's chosen instrument to carry the gospel to the Gentiles. He appointed Paul, and God was working in and through him, appointing the Lord's perfect will. God has appointed us if we've been born again. And God is working in and through us, appointing His perfect will through our life. We are to praise Him this morning, saint. Think about where we were. Think about where we are now and realize it was none of us. It was all of grace, that He is worthy, that we acknowledge our unworthiness of salvation before the Lord. We acknowledge our grace, our gross sin that separated us from God, and give thanks to the Lord for extending salvation to us. That it glorifies the Lord when we reflect upon our own conversion and consider all that Christ has done, all that He continues to do. Even this morning, I've been reminded of my lack of patience, my lack of love, and my pride in my own life. And that was just spending time with my three children. It glorifies the Lord when we reflect upon salvation, all that He's done. Are you burdened for the lost souls that are around you? What amazes me is you see God's grace on perfect display in the life of Paul, a man who has just been beat, and they were continuing to beat him. And what had killed him, the tribune hadn't come and rescued him. He was being beat, and now he's given an opportunity to speak. He asked for that, and he's proclaiming the good news because he cares about their salvation. Are you burdened for the lost souls that are around you? We should be. We should tell them our own story and the wondrous work of Jesus Christ on the cross. That Christ is our only hope. That you cannot save yourself. We should be telling people to call on Christ for salvation. John chapter 3, 16, everybody knows, verse 17 through 21. For God did not send His Son to the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. It's only through Him. And whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is a judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light, does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. Whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. Acts 4, verse 12, which we've already covered. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. So there's no one else and there's no other name but Jesus. And by Jesus, we must be saved or we are not saved. Look with me at Philippians chapter 3, and we will close with these words. Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. Paul is writing to the church of Philippi here. He loves this church dearly. He has not addressed a sin with them, which is very unusual. The founder of this church, Philippians 3, verse 1, he says this. He says, finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you. Look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss, because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, so may share His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Knowing Jesus Christ, it is everything. Knowing Christ, it surpasses everything. Do you know Him? Call on Christ for salvation. Christ is our only hope. That was Paul's plead before this crowd that wanted to kill him. He is telling them how he was saved and the salvation is for Jew as well as for Gentile to come to Christ and to be saved. Father, I thank You for Your holy word this morning. Father, forgive me, Lord, if I have failed to rightly divide Your word in any way. take it away from the hearers. Father, we are so thankful that there is forgiveness found in Christ. We are so thankful there is forgiveness for when we do not daily treasure the fact that you have saved us. We can so easily become consumed with the sin of other people that we forget the grace and the miracle of our own salvation. Just as our brother Wesley has already said, we have sinned so many times this week, doing what is right in our own eyes, forsaking your commands and your holy word, Lord. We have walked to please ourselves and to not please you. How gracious you are. Lord, forgive us when we have looked upon somebody and we have not had compassion for them. Father, I pray for myself and for this congregation. Lord, I pray that we would give you praise this day, that you have redeemed a wretch like me. You have brought us out of darkness into your marvelous light. You have clothed us with power from on high to go and to be your witnesses to all the nations, Father. Father, so often we say we love your kingdom, but yet we live for our own. Thank you for forgiveness that's found in Christ. Father, even now, those who are lost, Father, weigh them down with their sin. Draw them to yourself. May today be the day of salvation. May they call on you, for there's no other hope. And Lord, teach us how great it is to not only be called to you and for you, but how great it is to obey your commands and to go into the world and tell the good news that saves. Father, thank you for this time as we have gathered together today. So many cannot. It's in the beautiful, spotless name of Christ we pray all these things. Amen. Use this time of silence for prayer and confession, personal reflection. Prepare for the taking of the Lord's table as well as singing the song, Great is Thy Faithfulness. We have a God who does not change. Use this time right now.